It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped to do every good work. You know, we talked about this passage this morning in our Rooted class for those that are going to become new members here at Three Timbers, that the Word of God is infallible. It is perfect, not the one who speaks it. And so we're going to hear from the infallible Word of God today. Will you pray with me, please? Our Father and our God, we thank you for the beautiful day, the beautiful weather, Lord, that we get to come and to live here. We thank you for the privilege we have to come and to worship you, to praise you, to seek you, to lay our burdens before you. Father, I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us right where we are, whether we're on the mountaintop, whether we're in the valley or somewhere in between. Lord, whatever stress or anxiety we may have brought in, that, Lord, we leave it at the cross. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me and despite me. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would speak to us this day. Father, we love you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Have you ever maybe had one of those days where somebody maybe just says something or does something and it just kind of throws your whole day off? Like it's kind of unsettling. You know, maybe it was a comment or just something that happened and you're just like, I don't feel right. I feel like I'm anxious or now I'm worked up or something just not right. And you don't have peace about something. You don't have peace in your life. Well, you know, I think all of us can feel like that. And I recently read a blog post by an author, Tom Rainier. I've read a lot of his books. He's got some great stuff. That he had pastors send him quotes that people came up and said to pastors right before they were ready to preach on a Sunday morning and how it maybe got them a little unsettled. So I want to read you some of those. So these all happened right before a pastor was going to preach. It said this: Pastor, will you bless me divorcing my husband so I can marry a convicted murderer? God told me to do it. I'm not sure what I would do with that. During the offertory, somebody came up, Pastor, psst, do you have change for a 20? No, Pastor does not have change for a 20. This will be for Sarah. They came up to the worship pastor after the service and said, here's the bulletin. I graded each song based on how worshipful it was. That's always nice when that happens, absolutely. Just before the service, Pastor, there is no toilet tissue in the women's bathroom. We got nothing for you on that, nothing we can do there. Pastor, my husband's ashes are in two different places. Will Jesus be able to find them? Yes, yeah, absolutely, he's going to be able to do that. Pastor, help me cut this Coke can. I need an ashtray for the fellowship hall. I'm not going to be cutting any Coke cans here today for you. Pastor, I have the spiritual gift of extortion. That is not a spiritual gift, but you are in charge of the stewardship campaign moving forward. Pastor, I have some moonshine for your cough. Feel free to stop by the house. That's always comforting when that happens. And the last one, which I love, says, Pastor, I want you to know, if this church fails, it's not your fault. I don't know what you do with that. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's a little passive aggressive right there. But I think all of those things can probably rob a lot of pastors of peace in that moment. But all of us know what that's like. You know, we all struggle with trying to find peace in our lives. We all want to have peace. We want to feel peaceful. And we want to have peace between us and other people. But that seems to be the hardest thing in the world to find, but yet the one thing that seems everybody wants in some form or some fashion, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what kind of relationship you have with God, everybody wants peace. And so as we take a look at the concept of peace in chapter 23 of Believe, the question is, how do we find peace and how do we have peace with other people? Now, we're going to take a look at some different passages. Our first will be in Romans, but let me ask you this question. Has anybody ever called you a worrywart? Has anybody ever said, oh, don't be such a worrywart? Don't lie. Raise your hands, because I've called some of you worrywarts, so you can do that. We all can worry. We worry about our kids. We worry about our grandkids. We worry about our jobs. We worry about travel. We worry about health. We worry about finances. All of us can worry about so many things, and all of us would be wrong in doing that. Because you know what Jesus says? He says this, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But we worry. We always worry. We worry about everything, but yet Jesus tells us not to worry. And worry and peace cannot coexist in the same space. We can say, I have peace, but I worry about everything. So how do we find peace in our life? How do we get to a place where we have peace? I think the first place we have to start is our relationship with God. We have to get right with God. If we want to have peace in our lives, if we want to have peace with other people, we must have peace with God. And we have to get right with God. We have to examine our relationship with God. Now, many of us will say, my relationship with God is great. I know God. I love God. I go to church. God loves me. I know I am great with God. But if we were really to dig a little bit deeper, we may find some things out that we don't like to know, that many of us unknowingly are enemies of God. Now, somebody may say, that is not in any way true. There's no way I could be an enemy of God. Because when we think of enemies, to me, you think of Superman and Lex Luthor. These were two diametrically opposed individuals. They didn't like the same things. They didn't stand for the same things. They didn't want the same things. And if we stop and think for a minute, sometimes we don't want and stand for the same things that God wants. Listen to how we're described in Scripture. It says this. It says, once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. None of us would characterize ourselves as enemies of God in any possible way. All of us would say that we're friends with God. When the Scripture tells us, don't worry, we develop a case of the yeah buts. Have you ever had a case of the yeah buts? Don't worry. Yeah, but you don't understand what I'm going through. Don't worry. Yeah, but my situation's really complicated. So we develop this yeah, but syndrome. We worry. We don't recognize that we're living differently than God calls us, so we become an enemy of God. You know how we become an enemy of God? It's a lot like archery. If I was ever to do archery, I could take a bow and I could probably shoot it. And wherever it lands, I would then go up, I would draw the target around the arrow, and then I would draw the bullseye right around the tip. And I'd be like, nailed it. Man, am I good. That's how we look at our relationship with God. We shoot the arrow, we go up, we draw the target, we draw the exact bullseye, and we say, look, God, my relationship with you is just perfect based on our standards. But that's not how it works. God is the only one who can draw the target, and God is the only one who can put the bullseye. So the question is, can we hit the target? Can we hit the bullseye in our relationship with God based on God's standards? The answer to that is no. If anybody here has ever lived out perfectly their entire life, every day of their life, the Ten Commandments, please come on up. Please, because I want to learn from you. None of us have. And if that's the standard that we say, that you've got to have the Ten Commandments perfectly every day of your life, then we have missed the mark. So our relationship with God is not what we think it is. It's what we've made it. Our terms. We set the target. We set the bullseye. That's not how it works. The only way that we can have the right relationship with God is through the transforming and redeeming love of Jesus. That's what Paul says here in Romans 5. He says this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Our relationship with God is not based on morality or religion or good works. Those are wonderful things, but that doesn't hit the mark with God. It is only through Jesus Christ. And sadly, we have fallen into this, I'm a good person, I'm religious, I do nice things. That must mean I'm right with God. Well, if you're the one setting the target, yes, then you've hit it. But if God is the one who creates the target and the bullseye, then we have only one way to hit the target and the bullseye, and that is through Jesus Christ. And we have access. Everybody loves access. Everybody wants an all-access pass. If you've ever been to a concert or a sporting event, you've probably looked at people, and they've got some sort of lanyard, and you're like, man, they've got access. They can go back and see the artists or the player. They're on the field or they're on the court. They have access. Everybody wants an all-access pass. Think of your favorite sporting event or play or concert. Wouldn't it be awesome if you had an all-access pass to get there? But here's one better. We have an all-access pass to God. It's right there in the person of Jesus Christ. We have an all-access pass to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And it's through Christ that we can gain access into this grace, into this freedom, into this forgiveness. But there's no other way. You can't go up to the person at the door and say, hey, I'm a good person, I need access. No. Hey, I'm really religious, I need access. No. I could go up and ask for all access pass to my favorite sporting event. I could tell them what a wonderful person I am. It doesn't matter. I don't have the proper clearance to get there. We can argue with God, I'm a good person, I'm religious, I'm moral, I'm kind. That's not what God wants. He wants us to have a personal relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what gives us access. We can have peace with God through Christ. Remember how Jesus is described in the Scriptures. He is the Prince of Peace. See, peace with God is different than peace with the world. And Jesus says this, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The best way to find peace in our life is to examine our relationship with God. Do we have peace with God through His Son, Jesus Christ? Or are we trying to forge peace with God through morality and good works and being a nice person? If you and I want peace in our lives, whatever is worrying us, whatever is stressing us, whatever we're struggling with, it begins by having peace with God. Now, I know many people who say they have peace with God, but they are filled with anxiety. They are so worried. They are anxious about the future. They're anxious about the past. They're anxious about this. So how do we go in having that peace in our lives every day? How do we wake up and not be crippled by fear, not be crippled by anxiety? Because so many people are struggling with this today. How do we find that day to day, I've got peace regardless of my circumstances? Again, we go to the Word of God and it says this, Paul to the Philippians says, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If we want peace, it begins by going to God in prayer. Are we truly going to God? Praying and saying, Lord, I got to give this to you. I don't have a peace about this situation or this relationship or my life. Are we presenting it to God or are we trying to work it out ourselves? We can pray about anything. Nothing's too big, nothing's too small. We are called to present, to give, to lay at the cross all that brings us anxiety. And we're called to do it with a heart of thanksgiving. God hears us. Aren't we thankful that God hears every prayer that we have? It doesn't matter what it is, God will hear it. And when we do that, we receive two unbelievable things. When we truly seek God in prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, we receive a peace beyond understanding. Beyond understanding, and God will guard our hearts and our minds. Now let's start with the latter. What are the two areas that we find ourselves becoming most anxious and stressed in? It's our heart, it's our head, and our heart. Those are the two areas. Our thoughts are flooded with anxiety and fear and doubt and worry. But see, when we trust God, when we go to God, when we pray to God, when we petition God, we'll have a peace in our thought life. Or maybe you get worked up inside. You're anxious, you're worried, you're nervous about everything. God will give us a peace in our hearts. He'll guard our hearts. And when I hear that word guard, how God would guard my heart, I think of like the Navy SEAL team combined with the Secret Service and the military just kind of following you around. There's no way anything's going to get to you. It's like taking my kids, put them in bubble wrap and put them in a closet, which I am so open to doing, right? Because I want to protect them. I want to guard them. God will guard us. He'll guard our hearts. He'll guard our minds. Our thought life won't be stressed and worrying. Is it going to work out? We'll have a peace. Paul says that we will have a peace that we don't understand. We'll say, I don't know how I have this peace, but I just do. Have you ever found somebody say that to you? They're going through a situation that you're like, I would be so stressed out. I'd be so worried, so anxious. And they're just like, I've just got a peace. I've got a peace about my life, whether it's their job or their health, or their kids, or their parents, or their grandparents, or they're moving, or they're staying, whatever. They say, I have a peace beyond understanding. See, I want to understand that I don't understand how I'm this peaceful. Does that make sense? I want to get to a place where, like, I don't know how I have this peace, but I do. You know, growing up, I'm sure like many of you, one of my heroes is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. See, what I'm fascinated by him was, if I was him, I would have been praying for my context to change. But he didn't. He just prayed for God's peace in his life. And sometimes what we say, God, please change my circumstances, instead of saying, God, please change me in the midst of my circumstances. It'd be great if God just changed whatever circumstances were bringing us stress and worry and doubt. But the better prayer, I think, is, God, change me in the midst of my circumstances. I want to read you something that Dr. King said the night before he was assassinated. It says this: like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. This was said the night before he was assassinated. He had a peace in his heart because he had the right relationship with God. He had peace with God. He trusted God. No matter what the circumstances were, he could find peace. All of us want to have peace in our life. Every one of us says, I just want to have peace in my life, peace in my home, peace in my relationship. Dr. King had peace because he had peace with God, and he knew that he could trust God. If we want peace in our life, it begins by having the right relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. Secondly, if we want to have peace, it means turning to God in prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, and we will receive a peace that is beyond our understanding. Now you might say, okay, that's great. I get having peace with God. I get how I can have peace in my life. But here comes the hard part. How do we have peace with other people? See, now that case of the yeah buts, it comes raging back, doesn't it? Yeah, but they really hurt me. Yeah, but man, you don't know what they said to me, what they did to me. Sometimes people wound us. And a lot of times it's people close to us. And they hurt us deeply, sometimes even intentionally. And we say, how can I have peace with that person after what they did to me? Or what they said to me? How do I do that? And trust me, you know, God is so ironic. Because look, I've got people in my life that I don't have peace with. All right? And I'm thinking, shouldn't I have peace because I'm the pastor? And I'm preaching about peace, but this is like my therapy session with God, and you all just kind of get to come in and just watch this, okay? But God is challenging me in my life right now to have peace with people that have hurt me deeply. And I'm struggling with that. And these scriptures are really helping me try to really grasp, saying, God, I want to have peace. Do you get the difference there? Some people say, I want to have peace in relationships. I'm in a place where I'm like, I want to have peace because I'm not there yet. But see, we have all of these struggles and these wounds. And listen to how it's said here in James 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desire to battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. There have been fights from the beginning between Cain and Abel. And we've always had pain and quarrel. So how do we, if we have peace with God through Christ, if we have peace in our hearts through prayer, petition of thanksgiving, how do we then take that and have peace with others? Well, I think we take a look at what Paul says to the Colossians. It says this, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And what Paul is saying is, if you want to have peace with other people, let the word of God dwell, live in your hearts. I mean, it's got to live in there. It's got to take up residence in there. Because if the word of God is living and dwelling in us, that's what will come out. Paul is saying, let the word of God dwell in you, live in you. Let the word of God be the final arbitrator of whatever differences we have in our lives. If the word of God is the final arbitrator, we can have peace. It's like the word of God is an umpire. You know, Levi started playing baseball and he had his first game. And it was just awesome to see all these 7 and 8 year olds out there. They're in their uniforms and they're ready to go, and it's kid pitch. And so some of these kids are throwing it like over the backstop, next to the backstop. It was awesome. You know, and there were a few plays, but what was cool was whatever the umpire said, the kids were good. If the umpire went strike, kids were fine. If the umpire went ball, the kids were fine. If the umpire went safe or out, the kids were fine. Now, not all the parents were fine with that. Let me be very clear. There were some parents that were a little worked up. But the point is, those kids had such a respect, and they said, that's the authority. And whatever the umpire says, that's what it is. The word of God needs to be the arbitrator, the umpire in our life. When we have a dispute between each other, when there is strife and pain between each other, what does the word of God teach us? The word of God must be the final arbitrator. So the word of God needs to dwell in us. It needs to live in us. It needs to guide us in every possible way. What Paul is saying here is, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts as you teach one another, admonish one another with songs. That's why worship is so important. Because when we come and we worship, we're saying, God, you're the final authority in my life. And I'm going to worship you. I'm going to submit to you. That's why the midweek worship that Sarah sends out every week, which is so wonderful, is a great chance to stop with your family and just worship. Listen to the song, look up the text, and worship God. That's why it's so important to have our kids involved in all of the different programs that we've got, so our kids can understand that God's authority is greater than any other authority that there is. If we want peace in our life, and true peace, not the beauty pageant peace when people say, what do you want? I just want peace in the world. If we want peace in our life, it begins by having a peace with God through Jesus Christ. It means examining your relationship with God to say, do I have peace on my terms with God, or do I have peace with God on his terms? It means that I have peace in my life if I am prayerful, if I am petitioning God, if I have a thankful heart because I know God hears me. If we want peace with other people, which is the hardest peace to want and the hardest peace to have, it's saying, what is the final arbitrator in my life? It's the word of God. It's the absolute word of God. You know, when I was putting this message together, I thought, what is the best example that I can give everybody on what peace with other people looks like? And I thought of a bunch of things, and then I came across a story that I said, I think this is going to be more powerful coming from someone else other than me. And I'm going to show you a video here in just a moment. And it may become familiar to you once you hear the story. It's a very tragic story about a family who lost their father and lost it at the hands of a man who would display what he was doing live on social media. But their response shows how much they have a peace with God a peace in themselves and how they can have peace with others. And I want you to particularly watch the impact of their peace on the person who is interviewing them. So if we have that video, if we could show that.
Each one of us can give the killer, the murderer.
You do.
We want to wrap our arms around him.
We absolutely do. We don't. I honestly can say right now that I hold no animosity in my heart against this man, because I know that he's a sick individual. I know that, you know, because of the sickness, whatever evil overtook him that caused him to do this to my dad, is not him. It wouldn't be something he would typically do. And I promise you, I could not do that if I did not know God, if I didn't know him as my God and my Savior. I could not forgive that man. And I feel no animosity against him at all. I feel sadness in my heart for him, man. I do. I feel so sad.
All of us. And we want to, you know, we lost our dad, but this mother lost her son. Lost her children. His children lost their dad.
And but our audience, they've been thinking about that, even in your time of grief.
It's just what our parents did. But it wasn't that they just taught us. They didn't talk it. They did it. They lived it. Like, people would do things to us, and we would say, "Dad, are you gonna really forgive them, really?" And he would say, "Yes, we have to." So my dad would be really proud of us, and he would want this from us.
He would.
And he would say, "Tanya, forgive them, because they know not what they do."
You know, you talked about how, Tanya, you talked about how your friends growing up said that they wish they were Godwins. I think a lot of people watching tonight, and I know certainly I speak for myself, I wish I was a Godwin right now, because you all represent your dad. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I wish you peace and strength for the days ahead.
Thank you.
I don't know what I can say. You can only stand up and do that if you have a peace with God. You can only stand there if you have a peace inside you, because you know you can turn to God. You can only offer peace to someone who did something that none of us can even fathom, by the grace of God. I'm going to ask our music team to come back up here. So many of us want peace in our life. I love their name, by the way, Godwin, because God does win. And did you see Anderson Cooper? He said, "I want to be a Godwin." He says, "I wish you peace." They have the peace. They have a peace that's beyond understanding, as Paul said. I don't know how they have the peace, but they can have peace because of God. There are three questions I want to leave you with tonight, or today, that I want you to ask, if we can put those up. I'm not sure. Do we have those? Three questions? Okay. Number one, do you have peace with God on your terms, works, religion, or morality, or His terms, which is justification through faith in Jesus Christ? Have you shot the arrow and made the bullseye, or do you know what God's arrow, or do you know what God's target and bullseye is? Number two, do you have inner peace based on your circumstances changing, or knowing you can seek your Savior, Jesus Christ, who can change your heart in the midst of trying circumstances? Number three, does the Word of God dwell in your heart and act as the final arbitrator when it comes to how you act, react, and interact with people and finding peace in your relationships? We can find peace in our life. It begins with God. It ends with God. And it's through God.